Our next recipient is Adam True. Adam completed a three-sport career at Pius that proved only the beginning of a tremendous career resume. He became a force across the Nebraska stage during his senior year, beginning with a successful senior season on the gridiron that earned a trip to the Shrine Bowl. That winter, True turned in a super state performance while setting the school record for field goals in a season and recording the second most points ever scored in a Thunderbolt season on the hardwood en route to the Class B state championship. True finished his Pius X career with an all-state spring that set the Pius X ERA record on the diamond, a record that stood for over 20 years and led our team to the state tournament at Rosenblatt Stadium. True continued his athletic journey at the University of Nebraska, winning back-to-back national championships with the Cornhuskers while earning his bachelor's degree in English. The Oakland Raiders selected True as a third-round draft pick in the 1997 NFL Draft, where he played 10 years and started in Super Bowl 27 before retiring in 2007. True and his wife, Tracy, have been married for 19 years and reside in Bend, Oregon, where he enjoys a life coaching youth sports and attending the activities of the couple's three children, Olivia, 15, Kemper, 12, and Finley, 10. As I understand it, when Adam's brother Mark was playing football here at Pius, Adam was usually around the back of the stadium playing in pickup games during the game on the field. Adam liked to play whatever sport happened to be in season. However, if there would have been high school fishing back then, Adam would have left all the other sports behind and he would have been all state in fishing. Adam enjoyed sports and he enjoyed the teammates on the teams in his sports and being a part of that team. He had many close friends on all the teams that he played on, but one of his closest friends was Troy Sharp. During the summer of their junior year, Troy was helping me coach Babe Ruth baseball. We were having practice here at Pius one morning with our 10-year-old team. That morning, about an hour after practice began, Adam came driving into the parking lot in his old Oldsmobile Catalina, big beige four-door Oldsmobile, drove up to the field, got out, opened the trunk, and proceeded to pull out a 20-pound catfish, or 25, something that was about that long. Well, all of our players stood wide-eyed, threw their gloves down, and ran over to see the big fish. That was the end of practice that day. Adam let each boy hold the fish and even stick their hand down the mouth of the fish if they were brave enough. I remember when Adam was a freshman. Pius had only one gymnasium when he was a freshman, so freshman basketball practice was normally in the mornings. I can remember coming to work those days, and as I was walking, you know, through the class, through the gym or around the gym to go to my classroom, I could hear Coach Russ Ewing always yelling at Adam to do something, to move his feet or post up or whatever Adam made a mistake of for that particular day, which seemed to be every single day they were practicing. Adam was a natural athlete. After graduating, Adam was getting ready to go to the university to walk on for football. Now, at that time, I was an associate scout for the Cincinnati Reds. During that summer, I notified my supervisor that he needed to stop in Lincoln and see Adam throw. Adam didn't play Legion ball that summer so that he could get ready to go play football. So I called him one day and I said, hey, you need to come over to Sherman Field and throw for my supervisor. He was from Chicago and he was coming in to watch him. Well, Adam showed up as normally Adam would do, showed up in a tank top and flip-flops. I can't imagine what my supervisor was thought. He didn't probably think very highly of my player evaluation when he saw Adam. Well, Adam stepped on the bullpen mound and began to throw after he got warmed up. Once he did, he started throwing between 90 and 93 miles an hour on the radar gun that my supervisor had. Adam finished and went back home, or went fishing, or whatever. And later, my supervisor called me back and told me that he had called Adam to offer him a free agent contract to sign that evening. Adam said, well, thank you, but he was committed to going to the University of Nebraska to give football a try. I guess that probably turned out pretty good for him. Adam was a great member of each team that he was a part of. He reached his potential during his senior year in basketball and baseball, where he was unstoppable in each. I can still remember the 92 final when Ogallala had beat Wahoo the night before and everybody thought Ogallala would win, and they had no answer for Adam that night. None. He did whatever he wanted. I still remember the district final when he was pitching against Lincoln Northeast. They had no answer to what he was doing that evening. In fact, his senior year, he became Pius's only Class A Super State basketball player. It is with great pleasure that I present to you the outstanding athlete of the 2017 Pius Athletic Hall of Fame, Adam True.
Quite a crowd. Thank you. Talked to Coach Elward the other day, and I said, I can't believe they're going to let Jim, Mr. Hansen, and myself have a microphone on the same night. So we got to take advantage of it. Talked to Troy Zorns the other night, Mr. Sharp, still can't say that, but Troy said, keep it short and sweet. Okay. I've been to these, and I want to fall asleep. Troy Zorn said, Adam, you're probably not going to make the NFL Hall of Fame, so you take as long as you want. Yeah, you're probably right, Troy. So sitting here, it's been a long time. Been back here, and it's great to see everybody's faces. I'll tell you that emotionally, and the heart is racing a little, right? I was talking to somebody earlier, and they said, well, imagine they're all in their skivvies. I said, oh, okay. I said, but I'm used to talking to a bunch of 10-year-olds, so they do a lot of coaching. I said, well, don't say those together. So, okay. So, without any further ado, it's 8 pages, a double space, so hopefully it won't take too long, Mr. Moore. He's still here. He did a great job filling in. Hopefully we'll have the same amount of eye contact. Yes? Very good. Thank you. That's who you used to get Paul passes from when you were late to class. Go see Mr. Moore. Do you still do that?
No.
Okay. I'm late. What's it for? It doesn't matter. Mr. Hansen, thank you for that introduction, and thank you all for coming. It's a pleasure to be here. I would like to thank the Pius Athletic Hall of Fame Election Committee for electing me to the 2017 Athletic Hall of Fame. PJ Book, spoke to him a lot this last month, and he's outstanding. Thank you very much for your help. You're trying to hide over there, okay? Be proud. Thank you, past inductees and fellow inductees, and I'm celebrating with receiving this tonight. First, I want to thank my late parents, Dale and Betty True. Without their steadfast love and support, I would not be standing here today. Some of my strongest memories are from my mom driving me to 6 o'clock basketball practice as a freshman, my dad helping me scoop the driveway in the winter so I could get a few extra shots in before the next storm came. There was never a time at least one of my games, all you new parents with young kids, listen to this, where at least one of them wasn't in the stands, and I could see them. Their constant presence is a great memory of mine. And to go with that, they would drop off at practice and then leave. Okay? I do a lot of coaching, so trust the coaches that have your kids. Go get a coffee. They'll be better off for it, okay? Believe me. With my mom seeing my mom and dad, one of them at the games all the time. Occasionally, I know Troy and Jim could hear, throw him the dark one from the field stands at Sherman Field when I'm pitching, and that's a curveball, right? Strike this guy out. she would holler that, you know, and go back to her conversing. I want to thank my brother Mark, my sister Lori. Mark came up from Oklahoma, Lori from Indianapolis. I'm grateful they made the trip. Mark is 16 years older than I am, and my sister Lori is 10 years. They were starting their lives when all this was happening. Although there was a distance between us, they did their best to keep up via telephone and my mom and sending articles, I guess. I want to thank my Uncle Jim, Aunt Ernestine Leaf. That's my mom's brother and her sister-in-law. They're from Utica. As a kid, I would spend time on their farm, and in high school, when Pius Legion would be playing district in York, I would work on their farm during the day and then go to the games over in York. My late uncle John and Aunt Shirley True from Milford came to as many games as they could. I want to thank them for their support. My uncle John was actually a good pitcher a long, long time ago, and he played with Matt Reiling's dad, Merle Reiling, in one of the small town teams that they used to have across the state of Nebraska, farm community teams. I'd like to thank my cousin Kathy Moss, her sons Tom and Dan. Kathy's husband Fritz and John are no longer here, but they were very big supporters of me and my endeavors. Thank you. I want to thank my brother-in-law Jay Ostermeyer and his wife Amy for coming by. They get the pleasure of hearing about it. Right? They didn't know me at the time, but now they live here in Lincoln and they get to hear it from people. I want to thank my wife, Tracy. Although she didn't know me in high school, she nevertheless had to endure the 20 plus years of me talking about Pius. Photos of me in those tight, short basketball shorts. Endless stories of baseball shenanigans. The getting ready for the game superstitions, which our kids have inherited from me. There's never a time when she hasn't had our kids' game socks washed, their baseball pants ready to go. She knows my preference for getting to every practice and game super early and plans accordingly. And she always has snacks. I almost also must thank every coach, teacher, counselor, and librarian I ever had. Let me repeat. I must thank every coach, teacher, counselor, and librarian I ever had while at Pius. In the sixth grade, I discovered just how fun it was to make others laugh, as opposed to listening and sitting still. Procrastination and distraction became my motivations. But not one coach or teacher ever gave up on me. They had the faith that I would outgrow it. When I think back to high school basketball, I immediately think of Rob Privett, John Boudreau, Kelly Hendricks, Ed Easley, Matt Easley, Joe Hendricks, Mike Erling, Russ Campbell, Brian Coniglio, John Sand, Joe Walker, Todd Riddle. I remember getting out of school to go to the Bob Demany Sports Center while I was at St. Teresa's to watch these men play in the state basketball tournament. It could happen. You'd take a note and say, I'm going to watch them. Okay, go. It was great. St. Teresa's, it was a day off. It wasn't even a holy day. Sure, go, support them. Oh, it's fantastic. Some of the losses over the years were heart-wrenching. 89, when Jason Glock and little Bernie Inbody ripped our hearts out. It felt like we were cursed. When I was able to play varsity basketball at Pius, I remember coming out of the locker room to the sound of Mike Murphy and the Pius band. Nothing like it. That little sweat box over there. Everybody standing up, fanatics, it was fantastic. The crowd never sat down, it seemed, as John Bergerman had them riled up, and I'm sure Mr. Logston earned his overtime tenfold working crowd control. I saw him here, he was here, yes sir, he's here. While winning state basketball was the apex of my high school career, it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for the St. Teresa's Men's Club. Some of those men are here this evening. I rarely paid the dollar donation on Thursdays and Sunday nights, but they'd always let me play anyway. Steve Vassa and Rich Wall used to knock me around, and I think that's what made me tough. Joe Warner and the late Yogi Buss, they used to guard me every once in a while. Sometimes they'd really play really tight man-to-man defense. It was shirts and skins, okay? I didn't want Joe rubbing up against me when he didn't have a shirt on. So I think that's what helped me develop good foot speed. Fight through that screen or step across that screen. John Gapp, Paul Yates helped me with dribbling and shooting. Elmer Wessel, Elmer was here earlier. He would let me win around the world at his house. He had a nice driveway, breakaway rim, one of the first bison rims produced, I'm sure. Nick Cusick gave me a job, so I didn't have to borrow from my mother. As a freshman, Coach Ewing taught me the drop step drills, the up and under, a lost art these days, and how to box out, which I carried with me into the basketball state championship. He was a very tough coach, and he knew how to get the most out of his players. I remember dribbling off my foot in a game versus Lincoln Lutheran in ninth grade. It was the last play of the game. I got the ball, we got what we wanted, and I bounced it off my foot out of bounds. We proceeded to lose. I went to apologize to Coach after the game. I was sorry. He said, "Adam, we had the ball in the right person's hands, and it didn't work out this time, but you'll get more chances. I'm proud of you for wanting the ball in that situation." I've carried those words with me ever since. I'd like to thank Coach Seid for ditching the Loyola Marymount fast break offense we tried to put in my senior year. The 20-plus turnovers a game in the first five games was enough to change his mind. I much preferred to walk the ball up the court and feed it into the big guy down low. With that said, I need to acknowledge my teammates and how unselfish each of them were. They understood that there wasn't a shot I didn't like, and they knew I was going to take it. If I got stuffed a couple times, then I would kick it out to them for a jump shot or a three-pointer. The unselfish play and team concept is what Coach Seif preached. We all knew our role on the team and knew that we each had what we had to give to be successful. Sticking together until the end is what mattered. Unless, let's go back to February of 92, maybe first week of March. This building wasn't here. The garbage dumpsters were right there by Mr. Bartek's room, by the shop. We had just won districts in Aurora, okay? We're going to state. Lo and behold, we end up at John Sands' house. Hey, this is public record, so I can tell it. We're at John Alan Mary Sands' house on Sumner Street, and we got back, from Aurora. What are we gonna do? Well, what should we do, guys? We're all gonna stick together as a team, right? Okay. Well, I don't know why Food for Less would sell a bunch of high school kids a pallet of toilet paper, but they did. And not thinking about what had happened to the school 6 weeks earlier, we decided we were going to get on the roof and toilet paper the courtyard with the pin oak trees. Okay. We get on the roof, and we lower the point guard, Todd Riddle, and Jeremy Weezer down into the courtyard from the LPAC roof. It's lower. And we're having a great time, and it's fun, and they're throwing rolls back to us, and we're not wasting any. Somebody on the southeast corner of the roof was looking to the west, and they holler, the cops are here, they're coming. Some people were running up on foot, and we're like, what? And so we all just took off running back to the way we came up, and as soon as that happened, patrol car pulls in here and they start spotlighting the roof line. So we all just lay down. We'll be okay, we'll just lay down. And they proceeded to come up, they got us. I was one of the first ones. I'm sitting in the car here visiting with this nice officer. And, you know, we're all sticking together. That's what Coach Sipes said. He says, Mr. True, who's up there? I said, well, it's the whole varsity basketball team except Darren Hannigan. He's over at his girlfriend's house. We drive around to the west side of the school. I noticed the other night how big those little trees have gotten in the parking lot. They just redone the lot. At the time, they were 3-inch diameter saplings, and all the boys were handcuffed to one another around the trees. Luckily, one of the officers was Paul Axschmidt, who was St. Teresa's men's club member, so I was visiting with him. Here comes Mr. Logston. I'll never forget the look on his face. You know, I can't imagine. Todd Riddle was trying to go to the Air Force, and so he was in a tizzy because he's not going to get to the Air Force. And I remember his mom wrote a nice letter to the county attorney, I think, and Mr. Logston did as well, so thank you. the state championship game, you know, nobody thought that we would be there, I don't think. None of us did, really. There have been so many great teams prior to our team, and, you know, we were very fortunate. The dynasty crumbled the night before, and the start of the Ogallala game in the final, you know, they win the tip. I drop back to the top of the key, and I'm looking, and I see this guy throw the ball from 30 feet out. And I was like, what's he doing? And I watch, and it's an alley-oop dunk. First play of the game, Ogallala dunks on us. And I was like, oh, boy, this could be ugly. You know, we proceeded to outlast them. Maybe they were worn out from the night before. Who knows? It doesn't matter. But it was a memory. And you hear me talking now. You know, ask those teachers, librarians, and coaches that I used to love to talk. Coach Fricky, one day at practice as a sophomore, he said, we don't need a ball for this. Put him down and get on the baseline. I was like, oh, great. Sorry. But I couldn't talk. I think it was Jeff Schmalz after the game. I was never at a loss of words until that day, you know, that moment. It was pretty funny. I remember watching it at Sally Burt's house, I think, the replay, and we just had a great time. So now we're gonna discuss a little football. I think of the men that came before me: Mark True, Pat Hang, Paul McCabe, Greg Duggan, Chris Duggan, Doug Meacham, Steve Engstrom. The guys I got to play with: Sharp, Milius, Mahavik, Brian Johnson, the list goes on. But I remember, I can still smell the grass going off the warm-ups, the crisp fall air, Monsignor Barr's voice, the pregame invocation, the pancakes Billy's mom used to make us. Mrs. Ryan would have us over Friday mornings, the offensive line and the tight ends, make us breakfast. Maybe we block a little harder for Billy. Can I have an extra? Yeah. Anything else? Okay, sure. He lived way out on South 14th Street, Galloway. He had to get up early to get out there and then get back here. And anyone who played football with Pius during the year knows who that gentleman is over there, Mike Hughes. Coach Hughes, at the time, was a volunteer coach at Pius. He coached the JV football and helped with the varsity line. I considered him to be the mental and physical toughness coach. Coach Elwood talked about surrounding yourself with awesome coaches. That man there, awesome. There was never a set schedule, though, for when Coach Hughes would show up. And I'm sure to this day, not knowing when he will show, causes some anxiety in his former players. Toward the end of practice, we all start looking toward the southwest corner of the parking lot. We were always looking for a sign. A good sign was no silver van in the parking lot. Which meant a few wind sprints with Coach Hansen hollering at us. That's no problem. The bad sign was the silver van pulling into the parking lot. Dig, 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 chop, chop, chop. The seven-man blocking said, "Can't talk about this sled without telling the swollen head story. There's another doozy. The swollen head story." Okay, there was no concussion protocol in the 90s. There wasn't much known about dehydration. I had this mother of a throbbing headache because I was dehydrated, I believe. Every time I put my hand in the dirt to hit the sled, my head felt like it was going to explode. The only thing that eased the pain was to stand up and take deep breaths. The pain was so unbearable, can't form that word. The pain was unbearable that I finally had to tell Coach Elward. I said, "Coach, my head is swelling." This made no sense to him, and he said, "What?" He said, "My head is swollen. Why else would it be throbbing so badly?" Okay. I was given a bag of ice to put on my head. I sat next to the fence, and I can still see all my teammates looking at me. They might have been annoyed, or they might have been jealous. Because a swollen head is better than the blocking sled any day. And Coach, it wasn't seven at a time, it was one at a time, single file line. So you did it seven times in a row, right? And then you got to rest. When I think of baseball, I think of the stories that I cannot tell. Troy says, "Adam, I'd have never survived if I was the coach." I said, "Troy, I think we got away with what they wanted us to get away with, right? If they wanted us to behave, Jim would have been, he would have been harder on us, right? I do know that I'm glad I grew up then and not now. There were no cell phone cameras." When I think of playing baseball, okay, but I will tell you one. I remember borrowing a road sign. We've been through all these we've been to these boring awards speeches, right? I want you guys with me. Right? We borrowed a road sign north of Hastings, Nebraska. Just a little north and east of Hastings is a town called Hanson. Spelled the same way and everything. I had a cousin that lived in Hastings. We played our games. I think it was on a Saturday. We stayed with my cousin and his family. My mom and dad, Dale and Betty, were there. And we stayed, myself and two other teammates, I'm not naming names, stayed with my cousin. And we decided, again, without much thinking, that we should go and get that sign and give it to Coach Hansen for a gift. Sounds reasonable. So we get my parents' car and drive the 10 miles to Hanson, and the road leading from the highway had a sign that said Hanson via County Road. Okay, and it didn't look as big as it was. Dale True, in the trunk of his car, always had a ammunition can with some combination wrenches in it, and a rag, and maybe a flare, and some water, and some MREs, or whatever. And I have a teammate on my shoulders with an open-ended wrench trying to take some nuts and bolts down. The other teammate is, he's running lookout. If we have to dive into the ditch, you know, to maybe a deputy drives by and asks, "What are you guys doing?" And we say, "Oh, we're just checking the tire pressure. Maybe that happens." We get the sign down, It doesn't fit in the trunk. It goes from dash to dash inside. We drive back to my cousin's with the head, her head out the window. He proceeds to bring it to Lincoln the following week. And we take it to Coach Hansen's house like three proud cats. And here it is. So I think Coach Hansen had it for 10 or 12 years, and he was getting ready to move, and the garage door was open one day, and Lincoln police officer deputy or somebody drove by and saw it. So they proceeded to have a discussion about this sign, and I believe it made its way back to its rightful owner. And nobody was worse off for it. I remember, the nickname Nuke. That was my nickname in high school. There was a movie, Bull Durham, out at the time. Betty liked a good movie, and she's like, Adam, there's a funny baseball movie out. She didn't know anything about it, but I'm sitting between her and my dad at this movie, and it was probably inappropriate. I remember slinking down in my seat, and the main character, Tim Robbins, was a pitcher and was very wild. As a sophomore, I was in the old gym now. It was April 15th, or when could we practice? It was always on your calendar, April 1st. And it was always snow and rain outside. But Troy was a catcher, and we were pitching off the... Troy Zorns was the catcher. And that's the same one that no-hit Shadron one summer when we were on our way to Sturgis, believe it or not. Threw a no-hitter. He was pitching. And I was pitching to Troy, and, I should have broke a few of the tiles on the wall in there because I was hitting the wall. So Troy coins this phrase, like, we're going to call you Nuke. I was like, okay. And it stuck with me through high school. Jeff Klein, a friend, he still calls me that. Sean Mahomick still calls me that. It's funny. Like I said, many fond memories at Pius and Sherman Field. Getting to pitch in Rosenblatt, that was a real treat. Where the Omaha Royals played. Larry Vertiska, Mike Barrett, Matt Cordham, Jason Oberon, Bart Kelly. A lot of names. Robbie Ryan. And then there's Dong Hu Kong. Foreign exchange student that comes to spend some time with us from South Korea. It was great. I just don't think the baseball field was the place he needed to learn the English language. I've lost touch with some of them, but their memory is a constant with me. Troy, for example, he's right back here doing what he loves. His team's records lead me to believe that he's onto something. Maybe he should have a street. Street named after him. Teammates. So in closing, when I think of Pius sports, I think of tradition. The motivation for excelling through sports comes from keeping this Pius tradition alive. Every Pius player wants to make the players who came before them proud and serve as a role model for those that will come after. This tradition is why there are trophies over there and banners in the gym. Without the coaching and guidance I received at Pius, I would never garner the attention of Coach Osborne and Coach Tennifer. Without Pius basketball, they never would have recruited me to play basketball or football at Nebraska. Playing for Nebraska led me to 2 national championships and a 10-year career with the Oakland Raiders. Though Oakland was a long way from Nebraska, Pius was the very foundation of my collegiate and NFL journey. I carried with me into every Husker and Raider game the lessons and the love from those high school years. I never forget how invested teachers, coaches, parents, and friends were in my success and health. I don't get back here that often. And the smiles and the hugs from everybody. It means the world. I hope I represented Pius well. I couldn't be more thankful for Pius, for my high school days, and for this honor. Thank you all very much.